So we're going to jump to Luke chapter 5. You've got your Bibles with you. Open it up to Luke chapter 5, verse 12. And again, want to encourage you, either have a Bible or a device or something like that. I'm just going to start our recording down here. Well, you turn there. Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 12. And as you're flipping, there's a really interesting thing that happens during the week. On Monday, I start doing the reading, and I'll read through the passage and a few different translations, and I'll do a bunch of other reading, and then I get really, really excited about preaching the message. And then by Wednesday, I've done so much reading that I'm not very excited anymore, and I'm kind of tired. And then by Thursday, I'm second-guessing myself. And then by Saturday night, I'm really excited again. And so here we are Sunday morning, and I'm excited. I'm excited to preach this message. I'm excited to share the Word of God with you. And so that's kind of what happens throughout the week. And so if you come and visit me on Thursday, and I'm second-guessing myself about what I'm going to preach, you know why. So, Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 26. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go. Show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifice that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. One day Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teacher of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." This is the Word of God. So this morning, our message is titled, you can see it up there, "That's Not the Point." And we have two different encounters in our passage, two different encounters where Jesus heals a person. And while the healings are miraculous, they're not the point. They're not the point of the story. See, the encounters, they are primarily about healing, but they're about greater truths. They're about deeper and higher things than just the story we see on the surface. And I'm not talking about, hidden things, right, that only the chosen few can understand. And I'm not saying, only if you could read it in the original languages, which I can't, that you could know these things. And it's not some esoteric knowledge that only the enlightened can access. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is when we simply think biblically about these encounters, we come to realize very quickly that what's happening here is not about the healings. And so this morning we're going to think. We're going to think biblically about it. And really, I hope every morning you think biblically, or you think about things. Not just think about which cereal to choose. Because, John, you don't even need to think about that, do you? It's Fruit Loops. The answer is Fruit Loops. Right? That's the answer. Sometimes Reese's Puffs, but usually Fruit Loops. And I hope whenever you read the Bible, whenever you hear a message, you're thinking. You're thinking about what it says. You're thinking about what it means. You're thinking about what God is trying to communicate here. And I want to give you an example of that. Recently, I was listening to Jordan Peterson, and he was talking about Pinocchio. And it really connected to this idea of that's not the point. We all know the story of Pinocchio. Pretty basic story, right? You know, there's a puppet. He's created by a man. He wants to be a real boy. The Geppetto, who creates Pinocchio, creates him as a son because for whatever reason he can't have a son. And so he creates Pinocchio. And Pinocchio, when he lies, what happens when he lies? His nose grows, right? Right? And so if we're looking at that story, what's the moral of the story of Pinocchio? Don't lie, right? You know, pretty simple, pretty basic. Now, that's a great moral, and it's not wrong. It's not wrong, but that's not all there is. There's more to it. And not lying is a really good moral. And in fact, living by the truth and not lying is a bigger deal than we think it is, I think. But there's a lot more going on with Pinocchio than just don't lie. And again, if we think just a little about it, it reveals itself very easily. It's not some, you know, like, well, you need to be really smart. No, no. Just think about some of the things that happen. So first, Geppetto wishes on a star, right? He wishes on a star that Pinocchio would become a real boy. He reaches out to the transcendent. He reaches out to that ultimate thing beyond the horizon and wishes that his creation would become a genuine individual. He wishes that Pinocchio would lose the strings that control him and become fully human. And on the puppet's way to this, he's on the way to becoming this full human entity, this genuine individual on the puppet's journey to doing that, he's faced with all kinds of temptations, not the least of which is to tell the truth. Right? He's tempted to lie all the time, and so he's tempted with these temptations to tell the truth, but he's also tempted with physical temptations when he goes to Pleasure Island, right? He goes to Pleasure Island. He's tempted with physical temptations, and as he gives in to the physical temptations, he doesn't become more human, does he? What does he start to turn into? A donkey, right? He starts to turn into a donkey, and as he turns away from the physical temptations, he turns away from being an animal. And continues on his path to being more human. He thinks, he learns to listen to his conscience. And in the story of Pinocchio, his conscience has a name. What's his conscience's name in Pinocchio? Somebody besides Janet. What's the conscience's name in Pinocchio? It's about this big, he's green. Jiminy Cricket, right? He's the conscience. And Pinocchio learns to listen to his conscience as he's going through this. Right? Jiminy Cricket tells him, don't do that, don't do this. Pinocchio's like, I don't care, I'm going to do it. And then he starts to learn to listen to it. And he learns to resist temptation. He learns to live by the truth. And as he does this, he begins to lose his strings that are controlling him. And eventually he's transformed into a real boy. Right? This is the story of Pinocchio. And again, none of that what I said was really like, you know, where did he get that from? Right? We just think about it a little bit, and it really reveals itself really easily. So yeah, Pinocchio is about lying. It is about telling the truth. But in the greater sense, that's not the point. Pinocchio is about the journey to a genuine life. The journey to living a real life as a real being, and how that journey is beset by all kinds of temptations and all kinds of snares, and it requires strength, and it requires resolve, and it requires counsel, and it requires truth, and it even requires the help of the divine to get there. Now, isn't that a much greater story than don't lie? Right? Now, don't lie is good, but isn't that a much greater story when you think about Pinocchio? And so when we think about this story of Jesus encountering these people, the same thing happens, right? We see the healing. The story is about healing, but in a greater sense, that's not the point, and that's not the ultimate point. And so we're going to think about them together. Now, I was going to tackle both stories, but then as I got writing and as I got thinking about them, I decided that we didn't want to be here for 2.5 hours. this morning. So we're just going to look at one, and I'm going to touch on the other one very briefly. But what your homework is for this week, your homework is to read the story of the paralytic and to think about it and then to see what the real point of the story is. And you're going to have the skills to do this because, as you see, as we unpack the first story, you already have the skills to do the second story. If you just read it, look at it, think about it from a biblical point of view. The ultimate point of these encounters is not the healing, but the ultimate point of an encounter with Jesus is that those who come to Jesus with faith are wholly and completely transformed and made whole. Right, and so we're going to unpack that a little bit. So the first story where Jesus encounters a leper is surprising. It's a very surprising story. Again, just a little bit of thought tells us that it's a very surprising story in many ways. The first part that's really surprising about the story is it begins off like this. Jesus was in one of the towns, verse 12. In other translations, it says, while Jesus was in the city, a man came to him. Now this, if you were a first century Jewish person, this is where you would all gasp and clutch your pearls, right? Oh, Jesus was in the city and this man came to him? And we're thinking, okay, yeah, what's wrong with that? Well, what's wrong with it is he was breaking the rules. He was breaking the law of Moses. People with leprosy were not supposed to be in the city. People with leprosy were supposed to live outside the camp. He should not have been in the city, let alone approaching Jesus. Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 and 46 says this, the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. That's what he's supposed to be doing. Even if he is in the city, even if he does approach Jesus, he's supposed to be covering his upper lip and crying out, unclean, unclean, so that nobody would come near him. But he doesn't do that, does he? But even just think from his mindset, think about what's happening in his life. Think about the social isolation of somebody who has that disease. Now, is it his fault that he has the disease? I don't think anybody could make that case. Is it anybody's fault that they catch a disease? No. So it's not his fault, but he's socially alienated from it. He's separated out from society. And it's not him and his family is to live outside the camp, it's him. He's to live outside the camp. He's to live alone. He's to be alienated from the rest of society, away from everybody, outside the camp. And if we think in a first century Jewish mindset, what is outside the camp? It's not the presence of God, right? Because the presence of God is inside the camp. The presence of God is in the temple. The presence of God is in the camp with the people. The presence of God is there. And outside the camp, that's where we send the unclean. That's where we send the sinful. That's where we send the evil. That's where the evil forces of the world live and reside. And so that's where you got to go because you're unclean. And you can't be part of our society if you're unclean. Being unclean meant you couldn't be in God's presence. And so if we're thinking in those terms, think about the stigma, both the societal stigma and the personal stigma that somebody afflicted with that disease would have. Right? And at that point, you could almost make the argument that maybe the disease wasn't the worst of it. Maybe the social isolation was the worst of it. But here he is. He's in the city. He's in the city. And he approaches Jesus, and instead of crying out, unclean, unclean, he cries out, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Think about the faith it might take for him to do that. Think about the courage it might take for him to do that. Think about the desperation it might take for him to do that. Because the consequences of him doing that are probably going to be pretty dire. Right? You break the law of Moses, The consequence and the penalties are not good. They're rough because they needed to make sure people would follow these rules. The other thing that's going on here that's surprising is this is not how people become clean. You read Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, there's two whole chapters about how you become clean if you have a leprous disease. And it's all about presenting yourself to the priest examining you, going through a ritual where you become clean, and then the priest would proclaim you clean. But instead, the leprous man goes right to Jesus. He says, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Not the priests, not the temple system. The man says, you can make me clean. Think about the faith it takes to make that. The next surprising thing is that instead of sending him away, what does Jesus do? And it's very important what Jesus does. Verse 13, he reached out his hand and touched the man. He touched him. Now again, I want you to think about this, a little bit of thinking. Think about this. This man was living by himself. He was living alone. He had to yell out to anybody who came near him that he was unclean so they would keep their distance. When do you think the last time he was touched was? And touch is so important. So much is communicated through touch, right? A hug, a hand on the shoulder, a handshake. So much is communicated by touch. So much of our life is about touch, right? We reach out and touch someone. And so Jesus reaches out and touches this unclean man who has leprosy. Now, you wouldn't do that. Why wouldn't you do that? Because if you did that, you would become unclean. You would become ceremonial unclean, and you would have to live outside the camp. You would have to tell people you were unclean. And so Jesus touches him, but instead of being defiled, instead of Jesus being defiled, the man becomes clean. An encounter with Jesus by faith will make you clean. You will not defile Jesus. So Jesus touches him and he heals. He says, I'm willing, be clean. In the Bible, leprosy is regarded as humanly incurable. This is not something that humans could cure. The story of Naaman in 2 Kings 5:7, you know the story of Naaman. Naaman has leprosy and he goes to the king of Israel. He goes to his king, and nobody can heal him there, and he goes to the king of Israel, and you know, and he wants to be healed because he's going to go to see Elijah, and he's going to heal him. This is what his slave girl says, and so he goes, and the king of Israel says this. The king of Israel tears his clothes. This is 2 Kings 5:7, and he says, am I God that I can heal him? Right, and what's the implication there? It's only God that can heal this man. Whereas Jesus reaches out and says, I am willing, you're clean. Jesus heals a disease that only God can heal. What is the conclusion if we just think about it? Jesus is God, Yahweh in human flesh. So Jesus' actions is a show of his divinity, a show of who he is. And by the grace and power of God, the man is changed. Warren Wiersbe says that even Jesus touched the man, which meant that he became unclean himself, but that's not what happens. And this is a beautiful picture of what Jesus has done for lost sinners. He became sin for us, that we might become clean. Jesus is not only willing to save, but he's also able to save. And he can do it right now. The next part of the story that's surprising is Jesus says, now, you're clean. Now, don't tell anybody. Right? That's a little strange. Don't tell anyone. Now, there's this whole divine hiddenness in there that Jesus isn't ready to reveal himself until the proper time, but he tells him not to go tell anyone, which the man doesn't obey. We'll get into that in a second. But he says, don't tell anybody, and do what? Go to the priests and offer the sacrifice, right, that Moses commanded for your cleansing or for a proof, as a testimony to them. So that's kind of interesting. Why would he need to do that? If he's already clean, why does he need to go to the temple to go through the ceremony? Well, I want you to think about it this way. Here's a man living outside the camp. He's got leprosy. Everybody knows he's got leprosy, right? He's got his hair long. He's letting his clothes be ragged. Everyone knows he's been out there. Here he comes walking back into town, walking back into city, going back to his job, right? Going back to the marketplace maybe. And they're like, hey, you got leprosy. You're unclean. You shouldn't be here. And he says, you know what? Don't worry about it. I met this guy on the road. And he said I was clean. What would you think? Yeah, I don't think so. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. You need to go see the priest. It's the priests who say you're clean. Right? Think about somebody who's part of a business. They're the accountant for a business. And they get convicted of fraud. And it's a big, high public case, right? You know, high publicity case. Everybody knows this person. They're convicted of fraud. They're stealing. They're a thief. We know this to be true. And that person comes into your business, your big business, and says, I'd like to be your accountant. I'd like to be your controller. And you say, no, wait a minute. You were convicted of fraud. I'm not going to hire you as my accountant. And the guy says, don't worry about it. I met this guy outside. He told me that I'm not a criminal anymore. What would you think? Yeah, that's not how it works. The courts do that. The courts decide that. The same thing is happening here. This guy, he's got to go back. He's got to go through the right motions. He's got to fulfill the duties he has to God. Jesus tells him to stay quiet. But then in verse 15 it says, yet news about him, about Jesus, spread all the more. How did it spread all the more? Because the man didn't keep quiet. And how could he? How could he keep quiet? Right? He tells others. He can't stay quiet. When your life is transformed by Jesus, you cannot keep it inside. It doesn't stay inside. It's not about the leprosy. It's not about the healing. That's not the point. It's about the alienation from the community of God. It's about being unclean and so separated from God himself. See, it's not about the ritual that Jesus sends the man to do in the temple. But there's symbols in the ritual. He's got to take a dove, and they got to do it under running water, and there's a scarlet thread, and there's all these things. You want to read about that. That's in Leviticus 13, 14. And all these things point towards Jesus. And so it's not about the ritual. It's not about the healing. It's not about the leprosy. This is a greater and deeper story. Think about leprosy. Leprosy is not primarily a skin disease. And what I mean by that is you don't get rid of it by just cleaning the skin off. Leprosy is something that's deeper than skin deep. It presents itself in the skin. It presents itself in a number of different ways. Right, a lot of times now we understand leprosy presents itself as the pain receptors stop working. That's why people lose fingers and toes and feet, because their pain receptors stop working and they can't feel pain. But it's not primarily a disease where you just have to treat the rash or the lesion or the hands. It's deeper than that. It's something internal. But it presents itself in that way. It needs inner healing. And so then the inner healing will then result in the outside becoming clean. But the inner healing has to happen first. You can't just clean the outside and expect the inside to happen. And this is the same with sin, isn't it? Sin is more than skin deep. Just cleaning up the outside doesn't deal with the sin problem in our hearts. Just treating the outer show is going to result in failure every time. If the whole thing is just work harder, do better, be better on your own. You just beat it on your own. Just clean up the outside really well. Stop swearing, stop drinking, stop smoking, and then you'll be acceptable to God. That doesn't ever deal with the inner problem. Now, you might make some improvements, but ultimately you won't deal with the actual issue. And when you don't deal with the actual issue and can't defeat the issue, then what? Then where do you turn? See, this is why we need to be born again. This is why we need a new heart. This is why we need to be made a new creation. That's why it's not just enough to clean up the outside, but to attend to the inside, to attend to the heart and contend and attend to the soul. This is why we need to come to Jesus with faith. When we're convicted by the Holy Spirit that we're unclean, that we're separated from God, that we're sinful, we come to Jesus with the same cry, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus replies to us with the same answer, I'm willing. Be clean. And we're brought back into the family of God, and we're brought back into the presence of the Lord that we've been alienated from. And we're made whole. We're made human. It is not about the healing. As you go through this week, as you go through the surprising encounter with the paralytic, you're going to find some surprising things. But it's not about the healing. And when we think it is about the healing, when we think it's all about just the world here and now, we need to make the world here and now better. It's just about our physical bodies exclusively. We miss the point of the gospel. We miss the whole thing. And if we miss the gospel, we miss the supernatural power of the gospel. You think about it. How does the gospel actually change lives? How does this actually change lives in the life of people? If it's not healing them right now, if it's not feeding them, if it's not paying their rent right here and now, then what good is it? And if that's how we think, then we're missing the point. No, I'm not saying we shouldn't do those things. I'm not saying we shouldn't feed people who are hungry. I'm not saying we shouldn't help people who are sick. But I'm saying if that is the entire point, if that is the whole point, then why does Jesus need to die? Jesus doesn't need to die for you to give somebody a sandwich. Jesus doesn't need to die for you to donate money to somebody. Why did Jesus die if we just need to feed and clothe people? If health and happiness in this life is what it's all about, what do we need the gospel for? And when we miss that what people really need is to have their souls healed, what people really need is to be reconciled to God, be brought into the family of God, be brought into the presence of God. What people really need is the inner healing that only the Holy Spirit indwelling them can bring. Then we're going to miss the point of the whole thing. You're going to notice this in the story of the paralytic when you go through it this week. The man is lowered down in front of Jesus. The first thing Jesus says is, Son, your sins are forgiven. Because that's what he really needed. Because what benefit is it to that man to go through life with legs that work just to die and go to hell? Jesus' encounters with us are surprising as well. Think of the way you encountered Jesus. Maybe he healed you, maybe he didn't. It's different for each one of us, but one thing is the same, that he has saved us, he has forgiven us. All of us are part of God's family because Jesus encountered us and brought us in. We're not here because we have the same political affiliation. We're not here because we have all of the same skin color. We're not here because, right, we all just live close in the area. We're not here because we really just love karaoke, right? We're here because Jesus has brought us in, because Jesus has brought us together. That's what we rally around. That's the unity that we rally around. And so we can disagree about other things, but this is why we're unified. This is why we're here. But you might say, where is Jesus now? My life has become so hard. Where is Jesus? Where is the gospel now? What good is the gospel for that. What good is the gospel if it doesn't impact my body and my life right now? It's good in every way. It's good because you know that Jesus has saved your soul. Even if you have to endure suffering, he has promised to finish the work in you. He's preparing a place for you. He's with you even to the end of the age. His strength is made perfect in your weakness. It's good because it makes you long for heaven. When this world will pass away, and when this world will be no more, and everything will be made right. And if you haven't been longing for heaven over these last couple years, my goodness. It's good because you know that whatever suffering you're going through is not in vain, but it's producing something in you, something Christ-like, if you'll let it. It's good because your eternity is not based on your circumstances, but it's based on the finished work of Christ, and it's secure and immovable. Maybe you came to Jesus against the cultural norm, like the leper did. Maybe you came against the pressure of your peers. Maybe you came with the pressure of your peers. Maybe they brought you to him, like the paralytic. Maybe you were drawn to come to him. Either way, you've come. And those who have faith have been saved, have been made clean and reconciled with God and his children. Friends, it's so easy to fall into the social gospel that we need to feed and clothe people, and that's what it's all about. After the healings, Jesus gives two commands to the man. First, the leper, he says, go fulfill your duties to God. Now that you're clean, go and fulfill your duties to God. And he says to the paralytic, take up your mat and walk. Now that your bodies have been healed and your souls have been healed, go and fulfill your duties to God and walk in the newness of life. Go and fulfill the mission God has given you. It's not about the physical ministries. It's not about the healing. A little rabbit trail here. If you think about all the healing ministries out there, think about all the faith healers, all the televangelists out there. Maybe they could show up at some of the COVID wards and do something. But they can't because they're frauds. But look at the example of Jesus. The healing wasn't the point. The point was knowing the needs of the person, bringing clean to unclean. And notice that Jesus doesn't get defiled by touching these men. When we come in the name of Jesus, when we share the gospel with other people, we don't let the uncleanness of the world defile us either. We can go preach and share the gospel with those who are unclean, but it doesn't make us unclean. We don't engage in it. What if we would come to the same place of wonder and awe in the way Jesus saved us, in the way he encountered us, that we can't stay quiet either. See, we probably won't heal anybody. Most of us haven't been healed of leprosy or paralysis, but we can bring the gospel to invite people to encounter Jesus so that they can be healed spiritually, so they can be reconciled to God, so they can be forgiven of their sin. See, in the story of Pinocchio, one of the points of the story is not now that Pinocchio is a real boy and his nose won't grow anymore that he can lie all he wants. Right? We get that. And if we think that's a lesson, then obviously we've missed the point. So the point of these stories is not that these men were healed and now they can be part of society and just live however they like, just sin however they want. And the point of your salvation is not so you can live half a life being controlled by the strings of sin or the strings of the world or the strings of the devil, but so you can live a full life as a born-again child of God who cannot and will not keep quiet about it, even if it costs you everything. See, the healing is not the point. The point is a redeemed, transformed, born again, forgiven child of God, living a full life in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Dan, I'm going to invite you up to lead us in our closing song.